We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. Okay, so later on in this episode, I go on to mention that, you know, I'm not sure when the third movie is going to come out. I just looked on the Wikipedia page and IMDb, and the third movie is scheduled to be released on March 29th of next year. So, yes, I'm, on the one hand, I could have waited another 4.5-5 years, but I'm kind of glad we only have less than a year's wait for the next one, because of the way that this one ended was insane. And I, you know, I'm just like, man, it was a total Infinity War and Endgame moment the way this movie ended. So yeah, I'm glad, like with those two movies, you know, we only have to wait a year, less than a year for the third one. So anyway, forgot to mention that in the episode. So and I just found that out. So I figured I'd tack this on it at the beginning of the episode. So with that being said, let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Brent Aiken, and on tonight's episode, I will be reviewing Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So, I kind of want to do a spoilery review of this movie, and yet I also really don't, because this movie is so insanely good, and it does a lot. There are a lot of twists and turns that, you know, I feel like it would be criminal of me to go into spoilers for this movie. So, I mean, obviously, if you guys haven't seen the movie or show that I'm reviewing in an episode, I would think that most of you stop the episode and go watch whatever I'm about to review. But, you know, some of you probably don't do that. But regardless whether you do that or not, I'm going to go ahead and let you all know that I will not be going into heavy spoilers for this movie. Even though I kind of want to, but I think I can make a good non-spoilery review out of this, because, you know, I did it with John Wick 4, or Chapter 4, and, that, you know, I got about a 45-minute review out of that, so, yeah, I think I'm just gonna do that. So, yeah, so this movie is the highly anticipated sequel to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which, of course, premiered in December of 2018, and they actually, which I did not know this, fun fact, Sony began developing a sequel, or this sequel, before Into the Spider-Verse came out in 2018, so they were already working on this movie before the first one came out, which was cool. I didn't even know that. That's crazy to think. And yeah, they, you know, it's been about 5 years, 4.5 to be more specific. But they pulled it off. They made, this is just a great movie all around. But it's not only, well, okay, before I get into, yeah, my thoughts, I'll go into what the plot's about, you know, and then I'll go into my thoughts on the movie. So, this movie basically continues, you know, picks up, well, it kind of picks up from where the first one left off. I mean, not right where it left off, but we're basically following Miles. He's, you know, been Spider-Man in his universe for a little over a year, about a year and 4 months. And he, you know, Gwen Stacy comes back to his universe, hangs out with him, and he ends up going on an adventure with her. And, you know, he runs into the 40-year-old Peter, from his universe, and, you know, the three of them meet back up, and they travel across the multiverse, and they travel to a universe called Nueva York. So, and it's like a futuristic kind of Latino New York, like a Latino city mixed with New York. And he meets a team of spider people. They're known as the Spider Society. They're led by Miguel O'Hara, also known as Spider-Man 2099, who resides in Nueva York. That's his universe. And he there's a new threat that's on the rise, and they're regarding the multiverse. You know, it's the multiverse is at risk, and they're trying to figure out how to go about solving this new threat, what to do with it. And Miles doesn't quite agree with how they're gonna handle things and how they've been handling things. So naturally, chaos ensues. And yeah, that's the basic plot. And I don't want to go again. I do want to talk about spoilers, but at the same time, I really want all of you to see this movie for yourselves without like that much information, because I mean, you know, without like any spoilers, because you know, all the twists and turns the movie takes throughout, you know, you'll be, you know, surprised by and shocked by. And it'll just be more of a, it'll be more of an engaging, fascinating experience for you all to go in as blind as possible. You know, again, I'll talk, you know, more about the movie, but I won't go, you know, that heavy into the specifics, you know, of the movie. So, but yeah, that's the basic plot of the movie. And yeah, I just, I'm trying to think of where to start with my thoughts, because I had like a million different thoughts racing through my head after the movie was done. I went to the 6 o'clock screening, and there were, I mean, it was a big theater that, or a big room, you know, big theater that I was in, because you know, it was the op it was opening night, and well, technically they had the Thursday night screenings, but you know, it was opening night, and you know, it was a 6 o'clock screening, so obviously it was going to be in one of the bigger theaters at the movie theater. But it wasn't completely packed, which I guess makes sense because it's Friday at six. Some people, a lot of people, were probably still getting off work and stuff like that. But there were a good amount of people in there, and you know, there were kids, there were parents with their kids, there were teenagers, there were like 20-year-olds, adults with no kids, and it was great to see. I loved the fact that, you know, like that there were all these people from all different age groups, age demographics, you know, and not just age demographics, but also of different races. You know, like there were just a bunch of people. You know, there were a lot. There were, you know, a few couple families of black people. There were some Latino. There were like some Latino teenagers, maybe 20-year-olds, sitting in front of me. Like they all came in together. There was a 40-year-old white guy with his daughter, who was like probably 15, you know. And it's just, it was so cool seeing like all the different people who came to go, who came to see the movie, because the movie, you know, is so, you know, it speaks to a lot of people, and a lot of people loved the first one. And yeah, it was great to see all these different people from all these different backgrounds and, you know, age ranges, you know, or age differences, you know, or age groups, whatever, you know. And it was just cool to see them all coming together to enjoy this animated superhero movie, you know. And yeah, it was the movie was fantastic. I mean, because the first one, I love the first one. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Definitely one of my favorite animated movies. And I remember when I went to go see it in 2018, I was just blown away with how good it was. And I was like, man, that was a fantastic movie. I can't wait for the second one. And of course, the post credits scene in the at the end of the first movie, you know, does kind of tease and set up a sequel. And I guess it makes sense because, yeah, they were already developing a sequel before this film came out. I mean, before the first film came out. So it kind of makes sense. You know, it's like, oh, okay, so they were always going to make a sequel, especially if the first one movie made money. And it made a lot of money. In fact, the first movie, its budget was $90 million, and it grossed $384.3 million at the box office, which, you know, is great for any movie, but especially for that movie, because they kept the budget small. You know, 90 million, I mean, that's a lot of money, but it's smaller than a lot of superhero movies that are live action, you know, have. You know, some of their budgets can like go into the hundred something millions and 200 millions. And, you know, it's like, look at how much they grossed, look at how much money they made with having a smaller budget, you know, and they still made a fantastic movie with great animation despite the smaller budget, you know? But yeah, so this was not only Across the Spider-Verse was not only a good movie in its own right, but it was also a perfect sequel to a near a per almost perfect movie. And it did really what any good sequel should do. It continued the story of the first one while not being a carbon copy of its predecessor. You know, it didn't just follow the same plot as the first one. It had elements and themes and you know, things that carried over that were in the first one that, you know, that carried over into this movie, but it didn't have the same story beat by beat. It didn't follow the same story beat by beat, not at all. In fact, they even, and you know, this is what, again, what any good sequel should do, or, you know, what they should strive to do. They added context to certain scenes from the first one. Like they, or they added some, and they added more background, backgrounds to, or not more backgrounds, but they added like some characters in the first one that get brought into the second one. We get to know more about them. And there are elements from the first movie that you might have had questions about or were curious about, you know, plot points or elements within the story that are brought up in this second one and given more context. And when you see that unfold in the movie, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, we find out that what the deal was with that spider that bit Miles in the first movie. You know, it's like, 'cause you know, if you watch the movie, you're wondering, why is that spider glitching? And, you know, they never really address that, you know, but it's like, oh, okay, that's curious. And you know, the spider had a 42, the number 42 embedded on its body, you know, and you're wondering what that's about. They answer that. There's a minor character in the first one that is brought into the second one and given more depth, and I won't spoil who he is, but it's like, oh, that's kind of cool, and I totally did not see that coming. But yeah, the story's great. I loved the characters were all great too. You know, it was cool seeing a slightly older Miles. You know, I mean, like, again, it's only been a year and 4 months of a time skip, you know, from the end of the first movie to where we start off this movie. So, you know, not a whole lot's changed except for the fact that Miles, you know, he's got a new suit, you know, he's feeling a little bit more confident. He's built up his muscles, he's gotten a little buffer, and yeah, he's just he seems to have a decent relationship with his father in terms of like when he's when he, you know, is wearing the suit, you know, like when he's playing Spider-Man, or not playing Spider-Man, but when he is Spider-Man in the suit, you know, it seems like, yeah, him and his father, Jeff, you know, have this work relationship. And it's cool to see that, you know, played around with a little bit more in this movie, because they set that up at the end of the first one, where you know, I mean, he doesn't obviously reveal that he's Spider-Man, but he talks to his father in the suit, you know, and he says, "I look forward to working with you," you know, and it was cool to see them work together earlier on in the movie to like defeat this villain that's kind of, he's trying to rob an ATM, and the villain, the Spot, he was fantastic, and voiced by Jason Schwartzman. He did a great job with voicing that character, and I love what they do with him because his backstory is so interesting, and it's like you wouldn't have expected that to be his backstory, but you know, when he explains what it is and like why he hates Miles, it's kind of cool to see, 'cause you know, you don't really see that coming, but the way, you know, when he explains his backstory, it's like, oh, that's really interesting. And like throughout the movie he becomes more and more intimidating, because he's basically this not to spoil his backstory, you know, but like what happened to him resulted in him looking like a, you know, he's just like this white figure, like completely white figure, almost like Slenderman levels, except, you know, obviously Slenderman had a suit. But yeah, he's this white figure, you know, he's really tall, and he's got spots on his body, and the spots act as portals to kind of other dimensions, and but and also other places within whatever universe he's in, you know. So like he can, like he's when we see him trying to rob an ATM in a bodega earlier in the movie, he is he puts a spot on the ATM. He takes one of his spots off of his body, puts it on the ATM, and he's trying to reach his hand into the ATM to get the money. And but then another spot that he put somewhere else, you know, his hand pops out from that spot. And it was just cool to see like his and Miles fight, because like he, you know, Miles has to get a little bit more creative with defeating him because he hasn't really encountered a villain quite like him before. And so it was kind of cool to see them fight and like, you know, travel like through all the different spots that he would like, you know, throw at Miles, and like that was really cool to see. I loved that. And yeah, what they do with his villain and how he progresses throughout the movie is great to see. It's really cool, and he gets more and more deranged kind of, and terrifying, throughout the movie. And yeah, he just did he was a great villain, especially because Miles wasn't really taking him so seriously in the beginning. Like, and he totally felt this way, but like he makes a joke when he's like, as he's trying to stop him from robbing this bodega, you know, the ATM, you know, he makes this comment where he says, "Oh, you're just a villain of the week. You know, this is typical Spider-Man stuff. You know, the spot wants to be taken seriously." And so throughout the course of the movie, he becomes more and more serious and more threatening, you know? And, it's like, it's crazy to see that, how that progresses. And he, you know, because, you know, he's kind of hurt by Miles' comment, especially because of what he, you know, what, how his backstory unfolded. And yeah, okay, I won't say anything else because I might delve into spoilers if I go further than that. But yeah, so he's kind of hurt by that, and so he takes that personally. The spot's like, "Well, no, I'm not just a villain of the week, bitch. You know, like I'll show you, you know." And he definitely ups his game as the movie progresses. But so all the characters are great though. Miles is great. It's cool to see you know, a slightly more experienced Miles being Spider-Man, you know, saving people and feeling confident in the hero, you know, as being a hero. It was nice to see Gwen again, because I loved that in the first movie, their friendship / budding romance in a way, like their potential relationship, just because the two of them were so cute together. I'm like, when are you guys going to get together? You know, I was just waiting that whole movie. And they're great friends, but like they're a really adorable, you know, like I ship them, you know, I do hope they get together at some point. But, you know, their dynamic and their chemistry was great to see. You know, Shameik Moore was, you know, great voiceover for Miles. Or very great voice work with Miles. He killed it with him. Hailee Steinfeld as Gwen Stacy was fantastic as well. And, yeah, everyone else. Jake Johnson obviously comes back. You know, he voiced Peter. Well, the middle-aged Peter from an alternate universe, not Miles Peter from his universe, because Miles Peter from his universe was voiced by Chris Pine. And obviously, spoilers for the first movie if you haven't seen it, but I figured it's okay to kind of give a slight spoiler or two from the first movie. But in the first movie, Miles Peter ended up dying. Kingpin killed him. And then, you know, when the Super Collider activated in the first movie, it sent a bunch of Spider-Men, or spider people rather, you know, into Miles' universe. One of them was the middle-aged Peter, who kind of became his mentor, you know, as soon as he arrived, or shortly after he arrived. And He did a great job as well. And there's a, I mean, you kind of see it. You know what? I'll just go ahead and reveal this. There, because it's in the trailer and it's kind of on the poster, but Peter is a dad, and it's just the most adorable thing ever. Because he's got, like, he's a, because he already kind of had a dad bod in the first movie with, you know, his pudgy gut and the kind of unkempt, unshaven. You know, he kind of had like a 5 o'clock shadow thing going. And yeah, he's totally just like, he already had the dad bod in the first movie, so it was kind of cool seeing him be a dad, because, you know, in the previous one, he and MJ didn't quite work things out. You know, they got a divorce, but they got back together. You know, we kind of saw that at the in the epilogue, or I guess the well yeah I guess it was kind of an epilogue, but we saw that at the end of the first one. He went back to MJ's place with flowers, you know, indicating that he was like trying to make things work. And they made things work. They got back together and they had a little kid, and she's adorable. Mayday was her name. And it was just hilarious seeing Peter, and adorable and sweet. It was adorable seeing Peter wearing like a pink, like he was wearing slippers and a pink like cardigan over his spider suit, his Spider-Man suit. And he had like one of those, I'm not sure what you call it, but like he had one of those pouches you strap around yourself to hold your baby. I don't know what they're called, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, it's like this thing you strap around your shoulders and waist, like upper waist. And you know, there's a like a kangaroo pouch type thing for your baby to sit in. You know, it has holes for the legs and everything. And yeah, it was sweet. And the fact that his daughter also had a beanie, like a knit cap, that was a Spider-Man mask. And like there was one point in the movie where she like pulled it down, put it on her face, put it over her eyes, and I was like, that's just the sweetest damn thing. But yeah, she was adorable. And Peter even made her own web shooters, and that was great. But yeah, so I guess maybe that might have been a slight spoiler, but you can see in the trailer and on the poster that he's like has a, I guess it's a harness, maybe that's what you call it. But anyway, he has like a baby strap. He has the, I think she's on the poster, but if not, the strap that's carrying her is like on his chest, and you know, it's on his the front of him, so you kind of see that already. So I guess that's not really that big of a spoiler, but yeah. So and the oh yeah, everyone else also does a fantastic job. Brian Tyree Henry as Miles' dad Jeff, he does a great job. Luna Lauren Velez is his mom, Rio. She's great, and she actually does a little bit more. She gets a little bit more to do and say in this movie, which I appreciated, because in the first movie it was mostly Miles and his relationship with his father that we saw more of. We saw a little bit of his mom, but not quite as much as him and his dad. But in this one, we get to see a little bit more of both of them, or we get to see a lot more of her, and she has a lot more to do and say. But it's cool we get to see more of both of them and their, like, both of their relationships with Miles, instead of mostly just Miles' relationship with his father. So I appreciated that. And also I loved that they like incorporated, because they did this in the first movie too, but I loved that, because Miles is, not only is he black, he's half black, but he's also half Puerto Rican. I like that they included some Spanish in the movie. Like, there's a few instances where when he's talking to his mom, they're speaking, you know, they switch back between speaking English and speaking Spanish, and you know, he's speaking to his mom in Spanish, and I was like, oh, that's sweet. And it was cool to see, because you know, it's like it's embracing, it was like, you know, it's Miles embracing both sides of who he is, you know, of his ethnicity and of his of who he is. And yeah, I loved that about the movie. I loved the diversity of everyone. You know, I it's always, you know, 'cause people say, "Oh, why do we need diversity in movies?" Well, you know, it's always nice to see, everyone loves seeing themselves in movies and TV shows. So, you know, it's like you want to try to, you don't have to include everyone. You don't have, because otherwise, if you try to include everyone in something, then, you know, you're not going to please everyone. You're not going to, you know, don't do it just for the sake of doing it. You know, just do it and it'll feel natural, you know, and it feels natural here, and it's just cool to see, you know, like the diversity with, you know, and you know how casual it is, you know, with Miles being, you know, black and Puerto Rican, and then of course, you know, we get some other Spider-Men of other ethnicities and races and genders, you know, like, because obviously we've got Gwen, who's Spider-Woman, but we also get some more Spider-Women. One in particular who I thought was pretty cool was Jessica, I think her name was Jessica, but yeah, it was Jess. I believe her full name was, yeah, Jessica Drew. Yeah, she is a Spider-Woman from another universe, and she's black. She's voiced by Issa Rae, but yeah, she's a black Spider-Woman who's pregnant and rides a motorcycle. And also, she does not have a secret identity, unlike all the other Spider-Men, which I thought was kind of cool. But she kicked ass. She was fantastic. She was great. 'Cause, and I love the, like, towards the be in the beginning of the movie, she comes into, there's a scene where her and, you know, she runs into Gwen, meets her for the first time, and she's helping Gwen defeat this bad guy in her universe. I mean, in Gwen, yeah, she's helping Gwen defeat a bad guy in Gwen's universe, and you know, Jess introduces herself, and she's like, oh yeah, I'm pregnant, you know, me and my husband don't really know what the sex is and all that, but you know, he kind of wanted to wait. And you know, she Gwen having just witnessed, you know, this pregnant, you know, superpowered woman, superhero woman, you know, beat the shit out of this villain with a motorcycle. You know, she's just in awe, and she develops this interesting, you know, she develops this friendship with her, which I thought was kind of cool. And I love the line that she gave to her, or she told her, she's like, can you adopt me? And she's like, what? And Gwen's like, nothing, never mind. So like, she was just so infatuated. She was just so in awe, of Jessica in that moment. It was like, she was like, you are the coolest person I've ever met. But yeah, it's, yeah, she did a great job. Yeah, Jason Schwartzman, as I said, yeah, he was the spot. He was great. Oh, and Oscar Isaac. Yeah. And there were some more people in the cast, but, I'll end with the voice cast by saying that Oscar Isaac was fantastic as Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2099. He, you know, everything I've seen him in, you know, the Star Wars sequel trilogy when he was Poe Dameron. He was in Ex Machina. He was the genius billionaire scientist. I forgot his character's name, but yeah, he was in that. He's been in the Marvel. He's been a Marvel hero before. He was Moon Knight in last year's Marvel Disney Plus series Moon Knight. He was great in that, and he's been in a bunch. Oh, he was I forgot his first name, but he was Paul Atreides' father in Dune Part One, and he's been in a bunch of other stuff. But like that, those are the things that come. Those are the roles that come to mind when I'm, you know, thinking back on like his career. I'm sure he's done more movies, but that's what I've seen him in. You know, he may have been in some more stuff that I've seen him in, but that's all that's, you know, coming off the top of my head at the moment, regarding what he's the roles he's played. But yeah, he killed it. And it was kind of cool to see, because he is a hero, but he kind of has this villain turning point when him and Miles start to disagree on how to handle this threat that's, I guess for a lack of a better word, threatening the universe or the multiverse. They're trying to figure out, you know, what to do about this dangerous new situation that is you know, putting the whole multiverse in jeopardy. And he kind of becomes a villain in a way, or he kind of, you know, like the setup for his like villain arc is great, because he claims that and there's a great line with him and Gwen, where Gwen tells him, "Hey, we are supposed to be the good guys," and he just stares back at her menacingly and says, "We are," like that. And it's just, it was so interesting to see his, in a way, kind of transformation into, you know, from being a hero to be, you know, kind of being a stoic, serious Spider-Man, which Peter points out, when we meet Miguel, and Peter comes in, you know, and it's like, "Hey, guys, I'm back." You know, he's reacquainting himself with Miles and Gwen. But he ends up talking with Miguel, and he's like, "You know, you never crack jokes, bro. You're always so serious. Come on, we're Spider-Man. We're supposed to be comedic. You know, we're supposed to crack jokes." And yeah, but it was cool to see like how much of a badass Miguel was and how stoic and serious he was, because you know you can tell that he takes his job very seriously, you know, protecting the multiverse, especially considering that his base of operations is in his own universe. You know, like there's no telling how many years he's been acquiring all these different spider people, you know. Yeah, I mean, and obviously some of them are, you know, probably just visiting there. Some of them probably reside there, or maybe, you know, they're part-time spider people working in the Spider Society. But, you know, he's got a couple people that are like more in the inner circle, and then everyone else is like there and kind of working for him, but not part of the inner circle, you know. And but yeah, he was great. And yeah, I loved his hero to kind of villain arc transformation, but you know, towards as the movie progressed. What else? Trying to think of what else to say about the movie. Oh yeah, the animation was fantastic. As with the first movie, it was probably even a little better than it was in the first movie. It was so beautiful to look at. Like you could pause the movie at any frame, and what you would get, you could take each frame of this movie, and it could be hung up as art on the wall. It could be used as your desktop background on your laptop, or your iPhone wallpaper, or not iPhone, you know, whatever smartphone you have, you know, the wallpaper for your smartphone. There, you know, every shot, every frame is that that beautiful, you know, to look at. And what I like too about the animation is that, you know, Miles' universe. Before I get into that, yeah, one thing I like about the animation, before I get into the other thing I like about the animation, is the fact that is the fact that, you know, it's 3D, it's CGI, but you know, the lower frame rate, and you know, it still moves at a fast paced, the animation still moves at a fast paced rate, but the frame rate is slowed down. So like the characters are kind of moving in a little bit more of a choppy way, almost like it's like a CGI stop motion is the best way I know how to describe the look. And yeah, I think anyone who's seen the first movie knows what I'm talking about when I say that. But yeah, it almost looks like CGI stop motion with the slower or lower frame rate. But at the same time, the animation is still fast-paced and quick with everything they do, with like some of the slapstick and some of the faster paced action scenes and chases and all that. So that was cool. But another thing I like about the animation too, is that every time we go to another universe, the art style of the backgrounds, looks completely different. You know, it has its own unique style. Like, when we go to Gwen's universe, and what's cool too is, I also love this, we actually do get a little bit more of Gwen and her universe, which I thought was cool. I was like, oh, we're getting a little bit more of her place, you know, that's, and her background, and you know, her backstory in a way. That's cool. That's awesome. But yeah, when we have those scenes where she's in her universe, the backgrounds are all like these watercolor images. Like they look like watercolor paintings, and almost every time they cut to another character, like there's a scene where she's talking to her dad, and they keep cutting back between her and her dad. Every time they're talking, it cuts to her dad, and then it cuts to her, you know, and so on and so forth. The backgrounds change color. Like, it's never really consistent for that long. And I thought that was kind of cool, like the colors of the background keep changing, and I thought that was cool. I mean, not like constantly, but like when it cuts to a new shot or a different character, they change. It's not like it's constantly changing colors within the same shot, you know. But yeah, I really liked that. And yeah, so all the different art styles, sorry, were cool to see. And yeah, there's just a lot of different twists and turns in the movie that you won't see coming. They're all, you know, laid out pretty well, or they're all, you know, they're all really well executed. Yeah, they're just trying to think of the right word. They're all really well executed, and they're all some. They're really some really good twists and turns that you won't see coming. And the plot, the way the plot progresses, and how in the first half of the movie it's a little bit more comedic and laid back, and then as the movie progresses and we, you know, start to get to the second half, it gets a little bit more intense and dramatic. I liked that a lot. It was really cool to see that, see the movie become more serious as it progressed. And I loved the, well, I talked about the context. Yeah, like how some scenes, or the first movie, you know, was given more context. Some scenes that and characters in the first movie were given more context in this one. So yeah, I guess. Oh, so the runtime. I didn't really feel the runtime at all in this movie, despite the movie being 140 minutes, you know, 2 hours and 17 minutes. I did not feel the runtime. In fact, I probably could have sat through another hour of this, to be honest with you guys, because it was just that good. You know, like I was loving the look of it and how the story was playing out. I could have, yeah, seen. I could have sat there and watched another hour of this movie. It was that great. But yeah. So, what else is there to talk about? Oh, and yeah, I guess I'll end my review by saying, oh, and the soundtrack was great too. Probably on par with the soundtrack of the first movie. I don't know if it was better, but it was definitely on par with the first movie soundtrack. And the final thing I'll say for my review is the ending is crazy. Like it ends on this really crazy cliffhanger, with everyone like at all the it, you know, and like just seeing where everyone ends the movie off on. It's, you know, crazy to think that, okay, it's like, okay, what are we going to do for the third one? And you, the way it ends, you kind of get a sense of where they're going to go with the third one. But with how the different twists and turns, the different directions that this movie took, you're almost kind of left thinking, okay, well, I guess anything could happen in the third movie. And they do, there's no post-credit scene, so you don't necessarily have to stay through the entirety of the credits. Just stay for like the first for the first set of credits, because you know, like with the first movie, the visuals during the first batch of credits are great to look at, and they look that they don't really copy the same comic book style as the first one did. You know, it has more of a watercolor painting look to them, and the song that play that's playing throughout the. You know, the first batch of credits, you know, was a great song. And that combined with the visuals and the credits was, I was like, oh, this looks so cool. But yeah, the ending is insane. You know, it's just a crazy cliffhanger, and it didn't really sink in with me until like a minute after the ending happened, and I was just sitting there watching the credits. I was like, oh shit. Like, 'cause my mind was still processing what just happened. Like I was just sitting there reflecting on like thinking back on like I'm like, oh, they just ended the movie like that. That's in mind-blowing, you know. And they do reveal the title for part three after that first batch of credits. It says there's some text that pops up that says Miles Morales will return in, you know, and then they reveal the title. And it's you know, obviously keeping up with the pattern of these last two movies, it's, you know, something the Spider-Verse. I won't say what it is, even though I don't know if that would necessarily constitute, I don't know if that would really necessarily be considered a spoiler if I did, but I'll leave you guys to witness that for yourselves when you go see the movie. I will say this though, it was something that I kind of thought it would be, and not saying that that's a bad thing, but I had a feeling that it would be that title because I'm like, oh, okay. Well, the first one was Into the Spider-Verse. This one was Across the Spider-Verse. So, I'm like, oh, okay, it makes sense. The third one is called this. Because I'm like, what else could it be called, But yeah, I mean, I do like that title that they went with though. So I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool. I thought that was cool. So yeah, but yeah, just all the different art styles, all the different Spider-Man, it was great to see. So yeah, I guess I'll end by saying, yeah, it was a great sequel. The art style was great. All the different Spider-Man from all the different universes, were all so cool. They looked so cool, and like there and there's some cameos from that you won't expect either. That you won't see coming. That's cool how they played out. And I would go into all the different Spider-Man, but again, I'll let you guys watch the movie and see for yourselves. Because like there are some Spider-Man you're like, wait, did I just see what I think I saw? Like, and it's cool to see how many different variations of Spider-Man there are, and whether they all exist in the comics or not. I'm not sure if they do, but it was neat to see. So yeah, that was great. The voice acting was great. The plot was great. The runtime was great. The runtime, didn't feel too long at all. Soundtrack was fantastic. Yeah, it was just a great sequel, and the directors kind of have been saying that like this is their Empire Strikes Back, and obviously it makes sense, because the way the movie ends. But yeah, like any good trilogy has that exciting middle part, the second movie where shit goes down, it gets even more serious, and then you typically have this big cliffhanger and you're like, ah, damn, now I gotta wait for the next movie. Unless it's, the trilogy's already been completed, in which case, you can just go ahead and watch the third movie. But even then you're like, ah, damn, how's the third one get, I gotta see the third one now. And yeah, I on one hand, I hope the movie doesn't take 4.5, 5 years to come out. But with how perfect or how near perfect that these first two movies were, I honestly wouldn't mind if they took that long to come out with the third one, because I feel like it would be worth the wait. I mean, this movie was definitely worth the wait. Like, I was like, okay, I was totally fine with this movie taking as long as it did. So, and I feel like some people might be like not expecting that this will end on a cliffhanger. Some people might not know that this was, two parts, like, 'cause originally the title was Across the Spider-Verse Part One. But then, when they pushed the movie, 'cause the movie was supposed to come out in October of 2022, when they had that teaser in December of 2021, the title was Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part One. But they ended up going with when they released the second trailer, and they ended up pushing the movie back to June of this year, June 2nd, 2023. They dropped the Part One and just called it Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So some people, if they didn't see that teaser, might not have known going in that this was a two-parter, or the second in a trilogy, the second movie in a trilogy. But it'll still, but even then, whether you knew that or not, the way it ends, you might be expecting a cliffhanger, but at the same time, the cliffhanger it ends on is insane with where all the characters are at, and like, what they set up for, like, how it's all gonna go down in the third movie. And honestly, if they stick the landing, this will definitely go down in history as like one of the best trilogies of all time. Animated, superhero, whether, you know, not even just animated superhero movie trilogies, but like just trilogies of all time, I feel like. Oh, and also something else I forgot to mention. I love the fact that they slipped in a few curse words every now and then. That kind of caught me off guard, but at the same time, they kind of had like one or two in the first one. I just didn't expect them in this one. But I liked that because, you know, it's a PG movie. It's animated, but, you know, animation is a medium and can be viewed by anyone and should be viewed by anyone. You know, anyone can watch animation or anything animated, whether they're an adult or they're a kid. And, you know, I mean, it's not like they were going throughout the whole movie cursing, but it was just cool to see them slip that in. It's like, oh yeah, because, you know, like, it doesn't, you know, it's a movie for everyone, you know, the whole family or people who don't have families, you know, who are just adults going to see the movie, or middle-aged, or not middle-aged, 20-year-old people like me, you know, going to see the movie, or early 20s, or people in their early 20s going to see the movie, you know. It's not talking down to its audience, and, you know, the fact that they kind of threw those in, you know, threw a couple curse words in, you know, kind of shows that, yeah, it's like for a mature, you know, it's a little bit more mature than like your average animated film might be. Okay, so yeah, I believe that's everything I want to say. So, part three is going to be insane. Yeah, this movie was great, and part three is going to be off the walls, batshit insane, and I can't wait for it, no matter how long it takes. So, but yeah, hey, look at that. I got a 45-minute review out of this episode too, just like with, yeah, my John Wick Chapter 4 review. So, but yeah, with that being said, I hope you, oh yeah, and yeah, definitely go watch the movie. You will love it, trust me. And I bet you will all appreciate the fact that I didn't spoil anything for you, when you go see it. So, but yeah, with that being said, I hope you guys have a, or yeah, that does it for my review. With that being said, I hope you guys have a great night, rest of your night, and I hope you all have a great weekend. And join me next Friday, for my review of Foo Fighters, their latest album, which just dropped today. But Here We Are, and I've already listened to it twice today. It's fantastic, and I can't wait to talk about it. But yeah, I'm tired, so probably gonna go to sleep shortly after this, after I post this review. So with that being said, yeah, you guys have a great weekend, and I will see you all next Friday. And until then, take care.